Hearing the National Public Health Emergency Team will meet again today and is expected to recommend an extension to the current restrictions on movement introduced almost a fortnight ago to help contain the spread of COVID-19. The number of people who have died from coronavirus infection on the island of Ireland is now 345, 82 people in the north and 263 people in the Republic. The strict limits on leaving home and travelling to places of work were originally put in place to last until this Sunday, Easter Sunday. At yesterday's COVID-19 daily briefing, Dr. Tony Hoolan, the Chief Medical Officer, said the arrangements currently in place will not be lifted until certain goals are achieved.
We still think there is further progress that we need to make and we want to make and to continue to push that reproductive number down as low as we can get it. And we'll continue to track the infection over that time period. And in parallel with that, we will look at all the other aspects of our readiness, which includes a significant step up from where we are at the moment in relation to the full capacity around our public health management of this, which is around the case identification, the testing, the recommendation for testing, the swabbing, the testing of those swabs, the contact tracing that results, the follow-up of those contacts, which may involve testing of those at a point in time, and also the information systems to support our management of all of that. And all of that is happening with the greatest, if you like, of priority to try and ensure that we're in a position to, when the time is right and not before, recommend a change in terms of the arrangements that are currently in place.
That's Dr. Tony Hoolahan. Let's talk now with Killian de Gascon. He's chair of the Coronavirus Expert Advisory Group and Laboratory Director at the National Virus Reference Laboratory. Killian de Gascon, good morning again. Thank you for talking to us today. How long do you expect How long do you expect the current restrictions to last?
So the challenge for us, Gavin, is trying to lift them at a time when we're in a position to monitor what's happening very closely from a virus perspective in the community. So as Dr. Hoolahan has said there, we have had a positive impact on flattening the curve. I know Professor Nolan spoke at the press briefing yesterday evening. So the percentage of new cases day on day has fallen from over 30% at the start of the epidemic to less than 10%. So that's a really positive step, but the problem is it still needs to be zero. The number of infections that are resulting from an infection, the reproductive number, the R0, has fallen from an average of between 4 and 5 to between 2 and 3. That's very positive, but that needs to be less than 1. So they're the type of, I suppose, where we've made a lot of progress, but we need to do better before I think we can realistically lift those restrictions. However, we are conscious of the fact that the restrictions are very difficult for people and they are not sustainable in the long term. So what we would hope to do is be able to lift those within the next perhaps couple of weeks and then monitor the situation from the virus perspective and then perhaps increase the restrictions again if needs be, depending on the number of cases, depending on the number of people going into hospital, the number of people going into intensive care. Ultimately, what we have to try and do is control the impact on our health service. And if we get to a situation where, for example, we have 1,000 new cases per day, then that will overwhelm our intensive care system in a very short period of time. And I think while people will be finding the restrictions difficult, I think we just need to look at other countries like Italy, like the United States, like Spain. This virus, if given an opportunity, can run rampant, and it's really important that people, that we can't become complacent, even though we have had a very successful implementation of measures thus far. There's still a long way to go, unfortunately. But from the point of view of, we would like to be able to lift the restrictions as soon as possible so that people can return to some level of normality. However, the other aspect that Dr. Tony Hoolahan would have mentioned is in the context of what happens from a testing and contact tracing perspective when we do lift those restrictions.
Yes.
So we know our testing, what we want to be able to do as we lift those restrictions is really test and contact trace in real time. So that means people getting their test results within 48 hours ideally, and the contact tracing process starting within 24 hours.
Yes.
So we have brought additional laboratory capacity coming on stream this weekend. We've acquired additional equipment in essence and extraction platforms this week, which will be validated over the coming days. So assuming all of those things work as they're supposed to work, we would expect our laboratory testing capacity to increase dramatically over the next 7 to 10 days, and that will give us more confidence then in the real-time monitoring of the virus in the community. And that's one element of what we need to see before we can lift the restrictions.
Tony Hoolahan said, as we heard there, that any reversal of restrictions However limited a reversal will depend on reducing the infective rate, increasing the turnaround of testing, as you've explained, and the accuracy of tracing. How long is it taking to get a test result now?
So there are two separate groups based on the restrictions we have in supplies. So we're prioritising samples from hospitalised patients and for healthcare workers, and where those are readily identifiable, they are getting results within 24 or 48 hours. And then I suppose there's the community side of things, where these are people who have been deemed not to require hospitalisation and can stay at home and can self-isolate and manage themselves. Those individuals, some of them I know will be waiting 7, 10, 14 days for results, and I know that's not good enough. But as I said, significant measures have been introduced over the last week, and this week in particular, in the context of increasing lab capacity and bringing new platforms. People know that we've been talking about global shortages of lysis buffer and extraction reagents over recent weeks. So what we've done is moved to different platforms with different supply chains, so that ourselves and the NVRL and the hospitals around the country aren't all pulling from the same supply chain, if you like. So that's so we're hopeful that will give us more resilience in the coming weeks and months, but also allow us to scale up our capacity significantly.
The almost 500 people who are at least on Wednesday, at any rate, according to the HSE documents that we've seen, who were in hospital with suspected COVID-19 but awaiting test results, how long are they waiting for results?
So I don't have an answer to that for you, Gavin, unfortunately. So some of those would be tested on site in the hospitals, and it's possible that, again, depending on capacity issues in those hospitals, some of them would have come to ourselves at the NVRL. So generally speaking, we're prioritising hospitalised samples and getting them done as quickly as possible. But that, as I said, in the NVRL previously, we're currently down to about 30% of our capacity. But again, we hope to see that rectified over the coming sort of 5 to 7 days. So we're hoping that hospitalised patients and healthcare workers are getting results within 24, 48 hours. But in essence, as soon as is physically possible, given what we have available at this point in time.
We'll get to news headlines shortly. If, from an optimistic reading, that the rate of the number of people who are entering ICU remains stable as it has done in recent days, if the reproductive rate, the number of people who become infected from each positive case, approaches one or goes below that, in 2 weeks' time, where could you see us being? What restrictions could be lifted first?
So that's a really good question. And I think what we would like to try and do is allow people a little bit more movement outside of the house. So the strong stay-at-home message may be something that we could move initially. There may be an opportunity to open more, say, of the retail services that were closed formally a couple of weeks back. In essence, it would be, I suppose, looking in reverse manner from how the restrictions were implemented. As I said, we're not going to be going back to a normal state of affairs, because I think, just to clarify for people and maybe give them some context on this, although the numbers that we're seeing, 6,500, are very frightening, and we have to remember that each of those is an individual, a family, and all the rest of it, that equates to somewhere in the region of, what is it, 0.1% of the population, or somewhere along those lines, or maybe 0.01. So there's still a huge cohort of the population that is susceptible to this virus. So there's no natural immunity there existing in the community. Now, we will do some seroprevalence studies, which is where we'll take blood from an awful lot of people to try and see how many infections have occurred that have been very mild or asymptomatic, and maybe people haven't realised that they've been infected. So those population-based studies will also be carried out to inform the lifting of the restrictions. But ultimately, what we want to do is protect the majority of the people for as long as possible, because, as you know, we still don't have an effective antiviral against this agent or against this virus. We still don't have an effective vaccine. So really, it's possible that while we will try and lift as many restrictions as possible in the coming weeks, it's possible that we may need to re-escalate again at some point in the future, and it's possible that there may be some form of restriction in place for quite a while yet, until we see exactly until we can get the curve or the pandemic or the epidemic in the country under control and suppressed.
Cillian de Gascoigne, Chair of the Coronavirus Expert Advisory Group, thank you very much for your time again this morning. It's almost 25 to 9.